Give a little time for the child within you. Don't be afraid to be young and free. Undo the locks and throw away the keys and take off your shoes and socks and run you.
It's Jordan, Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
I have some advance apologies for you, Jordan.
Ooh, love it. That's my, you know, it's my favorite section in the New York Times.
I don't know how good of a job I'm going to do on this week's Jordan, Jesse Go, because I am full of taters.
Oh my gosh, too many taters. That's my favorite Larry the Cable Guy special, by the way. Too many taters. He is on fucking fire in that one. I mean, just raw, real cable guy. And he's never been better.
Jordan, can I tell you the truth? Is it okay if I just sort of like put my cards on the table here?
Do I hear, I hear a fucking baby voice seeping in. Is this going to be a baby voice thing? If it is, no, I don't want to see the cards.
Here's what happened, Jordan.
Okay.
I made some taters.
Right.
I served them on the dinner plates.
Right.
And I ate all my taters. Like I cleaned up my plate, you know?
Well, yeah. So, I mean, you want to be in the clean plate club. I know you. You're a man who likes an accolade. You like a ribbon.
My mama gave me some home training.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
no baby voice, by the way. I'm just keeping my sights on you.
I'm cleaning up the kitchen.
Right.
And there's a pan with some more taters there.
Oh, interesting. Interesting.
It looks so good, Jordan.
I like where this is going.
Good.
Dear Penthouse Forum, I never thought this would happen to me. I had finished all my taters.
So I put some more taters in my mouth, Jordan.
Oh, boy. Did you use a utensil? Were you just shoveling them in with the hands?
Yes, with my
little hands. Okay, hold on. Anecdote over. Once you talk like a grown-up.
We have some guests on this week's Jordan, Jesse Go. Jordan, shall we introduce them?
Yeah, we do.
No!
It's
so gross.
Oh, yeah.
We've just been waiting for you to introduce us.
Oh, no!
Oh, yeah. We crave it. God. We crave being an introduction.
Joining us.
I've made a stinky.
Oh. Wait, who's good at it?
Dave. It's Dave.
Wow.
But it's unfair. He has babies. So I don't know what a baby sounds
Graham,
like.
Graham, you're just guessing what a baby sounds like.
It's so tough to be a baby.
Whoa.
It's horrible.
Je m'appelle Jordi.
Is a French baby?
This is also Dave's voice for a goblin and for the singer Duffy?
Yeah. Duffy.
You got me begging you for mercy. Yeah.
It's also Meatwad. And Bobby from Bobby's World. Whoa.
Our guests on the program are joining us all the way from the southwest corner of the great nation of Canada. They're the hosts of Stop Podcasting Yourself, Graham Clark and Dave Shumka. Dave, sorry, we're going to have to let you go. Too much of that voice.
You're tough but fair, and enjoy your night.
Bye, Meatwad. See you later on Adult Swim.
This is the crossover event of the century we're running here.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a real Flintstones and Jetsons moment.
Which ones are we, Jesse? Are we the Flintstones or the Jetsons?
Oh, boy, that's tough. I mean, on the one hand, I have a robot maid. On the other hand, I like to push my car with my 2 feet.
That's true. It's tough. But I think we can both agree we're all real boring.
we all used to be in prime time.
Modern children would find us all very boring.
My daughter announced today that she really wants to see the 2002 Scooby-Doo movie.
Oh.
Really?
Wow. Did your daughter watch the new Scooby-Doo movie called Scoob that came out this weekend?
Not yet. And I don't know why. I think maybe it is... You know, once in a while we deal with people who tell us, I've been listening to Jordan Jesse Go for the last 7 years. I'm up to episode 220.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she might be that person. I think she may have the compulsion to backfill before, so she knows the full canon.
Right.
Yeah. And there's a rich catalog for her to explore.
Sure. There's all 30 episodes of Scooby-Doo. There's 12 episodes of the new Scooby-Doo.
And then 10 where they meet the Harlem Globetrotters.
That's
there are about as many Harlem Globetrotters episodes as there are non-Harlem Globetrotters episodes.
Do the Harlem Globetrotters help them, or are they after the Harlem Globetrotters?
The Harlem Globetrotters are perpetuating some kind of paranormal hoax in order to, profit from some kind of people being scared of a ghost. Isn't that it's like...
That is the plot line of every episode.
That is a heavy-duty heel turn for the Harlem Globetrotters.
Yeah, yeah,
I mean, I would expect that kind of thing from the Washington Generals. Jinx.
Oh, boy, there's a little bit of a lag here on my line.
There's only so many jokes you can make about the Harlem Globetrotters.
I wouldn't be expecting that from the Washington Generals.
I became aware of this kind of recently. I guess those early 2000 Scooby-Doo movies have like memes associated with them. It's one of those things like, you know, Space Jam or a Goofy movie that were like very important to people who are like 5 years younger than us.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
The Emperor's New Groove crowd.
Oh, yeah. Well, well, I'm an Emperor's New Groove man, but I definitely know that is a movie that nobody on 1 or 2 years over or under me has any connection to.
Right.
But yeah, yes, same category. And I think that there were some like cartoons that like jumped off of those movies, and there were some scenes where Shaggy was very buff. And I think that people are horny for that. Now,
Buff Shaggy, yes.
Buff Shaggy apparently is a daddy.
Wow, that really scratches an itch, you know?
Yeah. And I think people want him to choke them. Again, I have a hard time with some of these memes.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know if your daughter, is your daughter aware of memes? How young do kids become aware of memes?
Well, she is in a place where she knows what memes are and makes memes, but does not understand the premise or operation of memes.
So she's not a meme lord then?
Well, I mean, I think that meme lord is gendered.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So I think she would be a meme lady.
Meme lady.
Or a meme duchess.
the meme hierarchy is very complicated.
Yeah, but she's certainly a member of the meme landed gentry. She will take a picture of a puppy and then write something on top of it, but it won't have to do with the puppy. So she's still working out the ways that these things operate. It's very complicated. It's difficult for me. I'm 39 years old.
Yeah, I do not get the anime guy holding the butterfly.
I've looked at that so many times. Is this the anime guy holding a butterfly?
Yes.
I don't know.
Dave, have you watched the Scoob movie with your kids or any Scooby-Doo related materials?
We did watch the Scoob movie because the last like new release that came out during the pandemic was the Trolls 2 movie, and it was we were very much looking forward to that. We were not looking forward to the Scoob movie, but I was like, oh, since it's new, let's check it out. And of course, to rent a new release, it is $25 for 48 hours. Sure. So you try to get as many viewings as you can.
So whether it was good or bad, you're just going to watch it 6 times back to back.
That's like trying to buy a VHS copy of Jaws in 1985.
Yeah.
I just looked this up, and Scooby-Doo and Kiss made a movie together.
Wow.
Yeah. 2015, so not like a long time ago.
Wow. So like they think that kids in 2015 would care about Kiss?
I don't know why we bought or rented this movie when I could have just probably found that one for free and told them that was the new one.
Kids in 2015 were more into Bowie, I think.
Right.
That's right.
Well, they only had 1 year left with him.
Yeah, sure. And he wasn't a sellout.
But yeah, no, it's good. Will Forte as Shaggy.
Oh, that's good casting.
That's a strong cast. That's a strong choice. My brother-in-law went through a very heavy period. My brother-in-law is like, gosh, I think he's about 12 or 15 years younger than me. And he went through a very serious Scooby-Doo phase where all he watched was Scooby-Doo. And I'm talking about months where he exclusively watched Scooby-Doo. And, you know, you watch a couple of those things, you really start to see the bones. You know what I mean? You start to...
Especially if they're chasing after a skeleton.
Yeah.
You guys want to wrap it up for the night?
Now, the listener doesn't know this, but because in the normal Jordan Jesse Go, you hear Brian laughing, you know, in the next room.
Ooh, a peek behind the scenes.
I'm getting it right in my ears.
Yeah, we should have told you to wear earplugs. It's like going to a hardcore concert.
What did your kids think of Scooby-Doo? Like, I imagine something like that has a lot of like callbacks. I bet there's like a, you know, was there a thinly veiled drug joke and things like that?
Yeah, I in the first like 10 minutes they go through all the kind of like they run into a, you know, haunted house as kids, and you see them run into like a guy who they accidentally reveal as a guy who was not really a ghost, but was trying to, you know, make his house seem haunted so people didn't know he was like bootlegging merchandise.
Okay.
And he says, "I would have gotten away with it if it wasn't for you meddling kids."
Oh, sure.
So it's all callbacks in the first 10 minutes. And then I went to the other room. I trust this movie to raise my kids.
So, Dave, what was going on in the other room?
Quiet.
Oh, good.
Dave, what kind of merchandise was the old man bootlegging?
I guess it wasn't bootlegging. I don't know. He just had a lot of, like, flat screen TVs and, I want to say, a mop.
That was just for cleaning up.
The classic tools of the criminal's trade.
Right. Yeah. We were talking a bit before we started the record. Graham, you were saying that you have been very, very busy with some of your signature beard paintings.
Yeah. For anybody who says, "What the hell is that?" I paint using the beard that is currently on my face. I don't make brushes or anything.
How big a beard is this?
This, it goes past my nipples. So, but I also have very high nipples. So, you do the math.
Well, that's what happens when you spend years sleeping suspended from your nipples.
I mean, it's what I always hoped for, but now I'm here and I feel great. and then I paint, I've been doing commissions, so I paint whatever the people want and then sell them and give the money off to charity.
Ooh. Are there any limits to your commissions? Has anyone requested anything erotic that you wouldn't do?
I would do erotic.
Anti-Christian.
Yeah, you know, within reason, whatever the people want. But then,
do Darwin giving Jesus a swirly,
or a blowjob. These are two options.
Sounds hot. But so yeah, what have been the trends? Because people can request. Yeah, are you noticing any trends, anything like that?
A lot of dogs, a lot of cats, mm-hmm. And then some people will say, just do whatever you want. Or there's one guy that wanted the, you know, Twin Peaks, the Black Lodge with the curtains and the crazy floor.
I have not sat down to watch Twin Peaks, but that sounds like something that would be in Twin Peaks.
Yeah. So somebody wanted that.
I mostly know David Lynch from his work trying to get enough people to do transcendental meditation at the same time so that everyone can fly.
Is that a real thing that occurred?
Yeah, that's very real. I used to get press releases about it from his foundation. And they're very nice people. They're really lovely people. And that really was his goal, was to get enough people to do it at the same time so that everyone on Earth, if I remember correctly, could levitate.
In Canada, there's a guy that was called Doug Henning, who was a magician, and he ran for prime minister on that platform of transcendental meditation.
The Natural Law Party.
Wow. Yeah, the Natural Law Party. That's right.
I have one of their pins.
Is that the biggest Canadian celebrity to ever run for office?
Yeah, the one time Mr. Peanut ran in Vancouver for mayor.
Is Mr. Peanut Canadian?
No.
Is he naturalized? I mean, we know he's not native born. But
no, that's true. But he had asylum here.
Because of persecution by George Washington Carver.
That's right. And Jimmy Carter, when he got into office, it was
he
very complicated.
He wants to make me into a meatloaf. There's nowhere to hide.
Yeah, when people do say, just go nuts and paint whatever you want, what have you been doing for that?
My favorite one that I did, and I haven't sent it off yet, is the Pink Panther thinking about both a hot dog and a hamburger in separate thought bubbles.
Wow.
Did you see this? I mean, I know enough about semiotics to know that art exists both within exists both within the person who is interpreting it and in the person who created it. But for you, the creator, were these parallel lines of thought, or was this an active conflict?
He's got an expression on his face that says he really doesn't know which one he's going to choose. And I feel like that tension is expressed in the painting.
Yeah. I mean, for me, easy choice. I'm going hamburger all day long, but I'm not a panther and I'm regular colored. I am pinkish.
Yeah, I don't know. If confronted with the same choice, I'm not sure what I would do. And I prefer to just leave it that way and find out if I'm flight or fright, you know, hot dog or hamburger.
Dave, what about you? Where are you going? Dog or Berg?
Oh, boy. I'm a Berg. I got to go Berg. I mean, you know, brass tacks, I got to go Berg. I'll take a hot dog any day of the week, but, it's got to be Berg.
I have a big problem where I mix up my fight and flight and dog or Berg. So a lot of times at barbecues, I'll hit someone or just bolt. And when I'm at the ball game, you know.
Fists start flying.
Yeah. Well, if you meditate hard enough.
It did. You know, I was cornered in an alley once, but I happened to have some Coneys on me. Mm. You know, Coney Island Red Hots.
Yep.
Talked my way out that way. Offered him a Coney Island Red Hot or Coney.
Coney.
Coney 2012, guys.
Sure. What was that about? I remember that as a thing.
Yeah, I think we were trying to, like... We were mad at a guy who made child soldiers, but we forgive him.
And then the guy who the guy who came up with the Coney 2012, didn't he went berserk and like was walking down the street naked and got arrested?
Yeah. No, you're thinking of Martin Lawrence.
Yeah, he didn't make Coney 2012. He made the television show Martin.
Oh, that's right. I got confused. My wires got crossed.
But when something like that happens, aren't you always like, oh, maybe he was right, and like powerful people got to him and made him go crazy?
Yeah.
Although I never like. Also, I believed him from the start.
Yeah. Even though I didn't know, because he could have just been launching a campaign against his neighbor Coney.
I
didn't do any research
prior to that. I wasn't like, oh, I love Coney.
I'm a Coney man. Yeah, Dave, you made that video Coney 2011, but it was pro Coney
and like just like how what can Coney do for you? Yeah.
He previously, before the child soldier thing, had a rep as a chill dude.
And Coney's not the San Francisco treat, right?
No, that's Rice-A-Roni.
Rice-A-Roni. Yeah. Oh,
okay. Rice-A-Roni. Thank you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a common misconception.
You know, I had never had Rice-A-Roni before, despite my heritage as a native San Franciscan.
Wait, Jesse, where are you from?
I'm from just outside Oakland.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I put on the shopping list Mexican rice, you know, like a box of tomato rice for serving under refried beans or whatever. And my wife was at a grocery store that maybe only had one kind, but she brought Rice-A-Roni kind. And I had never had Rice-A-Roni. I think Rice-A-Roni is a combination of rice and macaroni. Like, I had never really thought it through. But it's like...
Yeah, now that we're talking about it, I also don't know what Rice-A-Roni is.
We were talking about on our podcast, stop podcasting yourself. It's on MaximumFun.org. I have only ever had, like, a couple of those kind of prepackaged hamburger helper or stovetop stuffing. And I have never had Rice-A-Roni.
Yeah, you've only had shake and bake like a lick'em stick, if I remember correctly.
Yes, exactly.
That's right. Yeah, we're freaks that way up here.
So was it? Did you try it?
Well, I didn't cook it.
There's your first problem.
I think it's macaronis that are shaped like grains of rice.
You're thinking of orzo.
Yeah. Well, it also might be a mix of rice-shaped macaronis and rices, grains of rice.
Those would cook at different speeds and temperatures.
Well, let the listeners help us out. Do you know what Rice-A-Roni is?
Yeah. These are your action items.
Send us your best guess. I almost called in an overseen to your show, Dave and Graham. It wasn't good enough, but this show sucks. I might as well throw it out now.
Do you want me to play the overheard theme song?
Thank you.
Yeah, we can do some kind of bad overheard overscenes on this show. And if you guys want to do some subpar Walton Goggins jingles on your show, you guys can feel free to do that.
I was driving down the California coast this past week, and I was in like a farming area south of San Francisco, maybe an hour south of San Francisco or so. And there was a huge homemade sign by the side of the road that said "Free Dirt" in capital letters, giant capital letters, and then underneath, real small, like it was like it was the fine print on a false promise.
Said, but not you, Jesse.
In parentheses, it said clean.
That's the pinnacle of false advertising.
Yeah. Yeah. What is the difference between clean and not clean dirt?
Well, one's dirt and one ain't.
Sure.
Yeah. One gets stains out and the other one creates stains. There you go.
Yeah. Oh, it really upset me. Well, that's all I got on that front.
I loved it. You could have sent that in. That was great.
Thank you, Graham.
Yeah, you could you write it in. Graham is in charge of the written in ones. I do the called in ones. And I
usually I have a
higher standard.
Usually when I call, if I call it in, then sometimes Dave plays it and then picks on me.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I sometimes play it. I think I play it 100% of the time you've called it in.
Yeah, fair enough. Jordan, have you been? I have like an overheard that I've saved since maybe 2012 in case I ever made an appearance on Stop Podcasting Yourself. I did once. I want to be clear. I did once, and it was a live show that Brian fucked up the recording on. Sorry, Brian. Sorry, don't mean to throw you under the bus. We love you anyway. But I think I did okay. But I think I still maybe have the same overheard that I have had since then, just in case. Sort of like you might think about like what story you would tell if you were ever booked on Letterman.
Mm. Right. I'd tell the story about the time I came up with an overheard, and he'd be like, what the hell is that?
Also,
then he'd be like, how did I get here? I retired 5 years ago. Now I just interview Michelle Obama.
Right. I've got this thing about a dirt sign that I plan on stealing.
Wait a minute.
We did that tour. We did a show in Stop Podcasting Yourself and Jordan Jessico did shows in Portland, Seattle, and Vancouver, and they were all the recordings weren't bad. Brian, I don't know how you kept your job all these years.
And those were guys. Those were wild shows. They're lost to the ages, but let's just say if you remember the JJ Go Spy shows, you weren't at the JJ Spy shows.
And if you have to ask which one of you is the JJ Go Spy shows, you're the JJ Go Spy show.
And if you can't decide between a hot dog and a hamburger, you're the Pink Panther.
That was a really weird Jeff Foxworthy bit. He was getting in kind of a Dadaist.
He went through a long series of follow-ups and never quite hit on anything until Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader?
Was that
my friend pointed out that if Jeff Foxworthy had existed in the Twitter era, that would have been a trend for one day, not an entire career. Like, just you would be a redneck if would only be trending for a day and then everybody'd move on. So
I remember watching a television show that Jeff Foxworthy hosted in the long after the You Might Be a Redneck era, and even maybe 5 years after the peak of blue collar comedy. And the two things that I remember most about it, as someone who really, other than You Might Be a Redneck, had not paid attention to Jeff Foxworthy, were that he was doing a great job hosting the show. I was like, God, he is convivial. And also, for a man with that goofy of like a Burt Reynolds mustache who's a stand-up comedian, he's very handsome. I remember thinking, I never realized this until I watched him, you know, in moving pictures or whatever, but a very handsome man, Jeff Foxworthy. I called him daddy and he choked me.
This might be getting you off if.
That was on the Bible challenge, right? Jeff, the Bible challenge?
Yeah,
you might be a sub if.
Yeah.
No, Ron White is daddy.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah, boy, I'm Googling Jeff Foxworthy images. You know, he's okay.
No, I think he's very handsome. I think he's a dreamboat. Just admit it, David.
Oh boy, I guess I'm being bullied into being horny for Jeff Foxworthy now.
That's right, David. You're horny for the fox.
His high school. I found his
high school. You think he's a silver fox?
I found his high school yearbook photos. He had a mustache.
I'm sorry, guys, but I only have eyes for Steve Harvey. Mm.
Yes.
Oh, boy, yeah. I'd like to unbutton
good
his
choice.
Eight-button jacket.
See what's under that purple blazer.
Yeah.
No, I Googled Jeff Foxworthy naked. Nothing came up. But if you Google Steve Harvey naked, there's a picture of him not wearing a shirt.
Oh, my. Can you describe it? How high are his nipples? Cut into your beard?
From here to Wawa, you know what I mean?
Woo, woo.
Woo, woo, woo.
If you want to see Jeff Foxworthy naked, you got to Bing it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Bing's better for porn.
Bing's more nastier.
That brings us to our sponsor for this week, Bing. Do you want a jacket to a comedian who wrote a series of popular bathroom books? Check out Bing.
At Bing, we nastier.
Bing, we nasty. Bing was really the Queeby of its day.
Yeah.
And that it was just a really fucking true. Good solid punchline or a good solid pull to dick on internet junk.
Ah, yeah. God.
Bing walked so that Queeby could run.
Now, I noticed you feel like you pronounce it Queeby. I'm a Quibby guy.
Well, let's call the whole thing off. No, I think I am. I think I am mispronouncing it. I think I've been corrected a couple of times. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it to like be a dick. I do. That is how I got used to pronouncing it.
You like being corrected. You like you like the sort of being punished.
I do. Yeah. Thanks, Daddy.
I watched an entire Quibi film. I watched an entire film on Quibi. I don't have Quibi. I have to admit. But Quibi has a very helpful publicist who has been offering us Quibi celebrities for as guests on Bullseye, and they offered us Christoph Waltz.
Oh, wow.
Who's a star of The Most Dangerous Game. And what's funny is they did not send me a Quibi account to watch it. They sent me, you know, like a publicist when you're an entertainment journalist will send you a screener link. And often these screener sites are like a total nightmare and it forgets your password and, you know, whatever.
You have to watch it on a laptop.
Yeah, I watched it on my home computer. But what's crazy about it is the screener simultaneously had a horizontally oriented phone thing and a vertically oriented phone thing so that I could see what it would be like if I was watching it holding my phone up or holding my phone sideways.
Which one'd you pick? Don't leave us in suspense.
No, it showed them both the whole time. Oh, it was very disconcerting.
Wow. That's what Pink Panther's thinking about.
Just Christoph Waltz in two different aspect ratios.
Let's take a quick break. We'll be back in just a second on Jordan, Jesse, Go. It's Jordan, Jesse, Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Dave Shumka, the shrimp king of San Francisco.
Yeah.
Mr. Shrimpy, lots of shrimp guy. He's a skimpy man.
Hi. It's a solid bit.
Yep. I mean, it's I've heard better.
I'm not saying it's the best bit.
I'm Graham Clark, Cloud Atlas. So there we go.
The book or the film?
A little bit of both.
Oh, wow. Little Tom Hanks in Asian face, was it?
In old face, in Asian face, in Italian face. He did it all.
Yeah, well, he's one of our nation's greatest treasures. There's no doubt about that. Oh, speaking of our nation's greatest treasures, particularly in the acting space, have you guys heard the good news about Walton Goggins?
He died for our sins. Yeah.
He has risen indeed.
Praise be to Goggins.
So we've spent a lot of time on Jordan, Jesse, Go lately discussing Walton Goggins' signature liquor brand.
And you've been discussing this for like 4 months now?
Yeah.
Look, I'm not even allowed to leave my house, Dave. This is what we have.
Hot Goggins.
Yeah, it's either this or like, how's the Deadwood rewatch going? What are you watching? What are you binging?
I mean, if you want to hear
what are your comfort watches?
If you want to hear my favorite kinds of mushrooms to gather in Zelda, I'm glad to run that down for you. But otherwise, it's going to be all Goggins all the time.
I apologize. I can only apologize.
I just obtained the crest of Artorias in Dark Souls Remastered to gain access to the Darkroot Garden. See, that's the shit the show would be if we weren't playing these Goggins songs, Dave.
It would just be a fancy garden party in New Orleans where people are talking about what's the game called again?
Dark Souls Remastered. It's the first
Dark Souls Remastered.
Game.
Oh, what are you doing?
Well, oh, traverse the steps of Anne Orlando.
Now, can I ask you guys, who's handsomer, Jeff Foxworthy or Walton Goggins?
Oh, wow.
Walton Goggins.
Goggins is gorge.
Yeah.
Not even a contest.
I think that Jeff Foxworthy has, while certainly Walton Goggins was wonderful in the television show Vice Principals.
Mm-hmm.
Foxworthy has a more vice principally handsomeness, which is to say he's more stepdaddy. He's more likely to sell you life insurance successfully and you're happy with the transaction.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're talking about just straight up rotten, you know what I mean? Goggins all day.
And Jesse, do you have life insurance?
I do have life insurance. Yeah, I weirdly, I bought it from Larry the Cable Guy.
Yes. get her done now, not later.
Yeah. Good job, Graham.
Because I've been taking out, I was thinking of taking out a policy on you.
Is this going to be a double indemnity situation?
No reason.
We got to get Will Forte in here.
Yeah, we think Jesse got on the train, but really.
So, Walton Goggins has.
Sorry, spoilers for double indemnity.
Walton Goggins has a line of signature liquors. And particularly, we've been most interested in is vodka. And we've challenged our listeners to write and record original songs, or at least original lyrics to classic songs.
Right. And the original, Jordan can fill us in on the original idea for a theme song.
Yeah, yeah, sure. Yeah. It went a little something like this. Walton Goggins has a vodka. Walton Goggins has a vodka. Walton Goggins has a vodka. Goggins has a vodka. Walton Goggins. Originally written by Chuck Lorre. Chuck Lorre wrote the first draft of that.
So, apparently, this is what Brian tells us is that we have received an extraordinary flood just recently of Goggins songs. That makes sense. Everybody's
a gush of Goggins.
That's how I
Did
prefer
you know
it.
That gushers are now made with real Goggins.
Free range Goggins.
Yeah, they had changed the formula to accommodate vegetarians.
Like Jack in the Box tacos.
Yeah. So we are basically completely swamped by Goggins songs, but Brian has picked a couple of his favorites. Let's hear our first one.
He's got a fine whiskey. He's got a fine whiskey. When the world is told to stay at home and your Netflix queue suggests the Righteous Gemstone, well, grab a tumbler cause you're all alone. He's got a fine whiskey. Yeah, he's got a fine whiskey. Sure, he's done other stuff.
Oh, this
like
is long.
Deep State and Six. Gin and vodka, too, maybe. But none of them will ever warm you the way I do. Have a glass or two, boy. And as the drinks go by.
Wow, this is
Walton Goggins, you make me cry. You gotta see Sons of Anarchy. He's got a fine whiskey.
He's got a Goggins fine even on
yeah,
Sons of Anarchy?
He's got
I watched
a fine
it, but it seems
whiskey.
True.
Is he mixing it up
might
justify?
Be justified? Might
yeah.
be justified.
Or the shield.
My favorite part of that one
yeah.
was that, sure, at the very end, he used the name Walton Goggins. But previously, it was just he with a capital H, like you would refer to God.
Yes.
Sure. Yes. Well, I think the previous bit, we were treating Goggins like a deity. So I think this guy just anticipated that.
Does he make a whiskey? Or like what? I'm not. I don't know exactly what he makes.
Yeah, he makes American whiskey. Yeah,
yeah. Well, I don't know for sure. I think it's a vodka. I think it's a rye, and I think it's a gin.
He has a vodka drink. He has a whiskey drink. He has a cider drink. He has a lager drink,
and he promises a little bit of Goggins in every drop. Right?
How is that? Has anyone done that song yet?
No, that would be a really
guys. Quick, stop down. I need to garage band something.
That's from that famous 90s band Goggins Woggins.
Guys, I think we just found the theme of the second season of your hit podcast, our debut album.
Yes.
We'll be Walton when we're Goggins.
Okay, let's hear another Goggins tune.
Hey, Jordan, Jesse, Brian, Sunny D, and I'm guessing special guest Camille Nanjiani.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm
Johnny ripped. Rica. And here's a Walton Goggins original for you, based on the cheesy and inspirational songs of the commercials of the 80s and 90s. Enjoy.
Well, I know that we've all seen better days than now. And who knows what will come, but we'll make it through somehow. When the going gets tough and your life seems rough, you got to get yourself back off the ground.
Roll up.
Yeah, there's a place you can go where the spirits do flow. If you listen closely, you'll hear the sound of
Goggins.
Hell yes.
There's a vodka.
This should go.
Talking one.
Fuck yes.
Yeah.
See, wow. That's what I'm talking about. That shit was mad inspirational, and it's got a beat you can dance to.
That's great. I guess I didn't recognize the pair. Was it just a style pair?
Yeah,
or was that a specific song?
An original.
And I like that he did a little explanation first about what we were about to hear. That was
nice.
Good. That was a nice touch.
That's nice.
We have one left here. This one actually comes with a story. So, long story short, my life is a living hell. And one of the components of this is that my daughter is going to school via Zoom, perpendicular to where I sit to work. So her computer camera is pointed at my desk, like pointed past her face at my desk. So at all times, I'm visible on screen to her teacher and classmates.
And her classmates are like, why are you watching Christoph Waltz in two aspect ratios?
And it is deeply disconcerting. And just in general, obviously the world is quite disconcerting. So I was feeling profoundly anxious the other day. And I had an interview booked with Tina Fey and Robert Carlock, the creators of 30 Rock and the Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. And those are two of my favorite shows. I love those shows so much, right? Mm-hmm, yeah. And Tina Fey is one of those people that everybody has for many, many years said, oh, you should get Tina Fey on the show, and we never could. And so,
you've always been like, thanks. I didn't. What is she? What does she do?
Yeah, tell me
more
about her background.
Thank you for filling me in.
This is if you've ever done if you've ever like pursued any kind of comedy, someone just tells you to get on Saturday Night Live.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. You should get on that. Yeah. You can use this in one of your skits, they'll say.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Jon Stewart's retiring. You should apply for that job.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, Graham, have you ever used that in one of your skits?
I'm looking to find a way to do it.
Okay.
So I was sitting at my desk. I was so anxious from being on my daughter's camera and like constantly having to be vigilant to make sure she's engaged with her schoolwork and this interview I had coming up that I was like, I can't read any more articles about Tina Fey and Robert Carlock. I need something else to do with my energy. And I had made some bold demands on a recent episode of Jordan Jesse Go. That I was sick and tired of all these alternative rock and folk rock songs and wanted a little R&B, something with a beat. And so anyway, this in the time that I should have been prepping for my interview, this was what happened. I mean, you can already tell it's good right at the beginning. It's got that classic groove. Intro's probably too long for this purpose, but it gives the DJ a chance to talk.
His name is Walton. He's an actor and he has a vodka. Potato spirit, he distills it, he transforms it Kafka. Clear as ice flows, and so you know that it tastes like nothing. Goes down smoothly, never rudely, soon you will be loving. Drinking with Walton is like heaven if it had a vodka. Giving pleasure to your leisure, Milan to Kamchatka. Sophisticated, now you've made it, it's a classy party. with a few friends or some new friends, or just Ken and Bobby. Oh, vodka. Oh, vodka. A thousand sips from your cup is never too much. Never too much. I just don't wanna stop. Goggins vodka. Goggins vodka. A million mules from Moscow is never too much. Never too much. I just don't wanna stop. Goggins vodka, Goggins vodka.
Wow. Folks, this is the only vodka from Walton Goggins, star of television's Justified and the Universe at CBS. Don't be afraid to tip one back, but please, do it like Walton would do it, and drink responsibly. Good night, and good luck. I just wanted people to leave with a positive message, you know?
Jesse, is this the most you've ever done on this show?
Yeah, pretty much.
The most prep you've ever put into this show?
I would say, Dave, there are some who would say that in this case, I am doing too much.
No, yeah. Jesse, the people, that's what people want. People want effort.
No, I think
now here's what
want...
I liked. I liked the transformation Kafka. I enjoyed that.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
thank you.
And I could tell, like, this whole show has been building up to that. From your, you started with taters. Then you did a song about potatoes.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, it's just Jesse. This
airtight.
This is a feat. You've really accomplished a lot with this.
Magicians call it the prestige.
Yes.
I really noticed that it sounded like the type of song that you composed in front of your daughter's teacher. That's what it felt like.
I really, like, truly, I was so bent out of shape, and I'm like trying to figure out words that rhyme with vodka and stuff. And I was so nervous when I got connected to Robert Carlock and Tina Fey, and somebody was having microphone problems or something. So I'm just making small talk with Tina Fey, who created the funniest television show ever. And I told her about my Walton Goggins song parody.
Oh, no.
Why did I do that?
And she was like, oh, the connection's breaking up.
Yeah.
What was her reaction?
Generous.
Okay.
She seems like a nice person.
Yeah.
It wasn't the pinnacle of my career when I did that, but I was...
Well, Jesse, the song is great. I mean, that may have been a faux pas, but you certainly shouldn't be all ashamed about that.
Oh, Dave's cracking up over there.
Yeah.
Where did you get the backing track? Is that just like a karaoke track? Take us through the recording process.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I recorded it in an audio journalism app called Hindenburg, where everything ends up in like with a weird lag, and so I had to move everything around every time I recorded anything.
Oh, the humanity!
I did it very quietly because I am sitting in an office.
It was very like
a recording studio.
Yeah, kind of some hushed tones. Sexy.
Yeah, very, very intimate. And I sent it for a polish to my friend Dan Grayson, a friend of Jordan and mine from college, who is a sometime professional musician. He did the original Sound of Young America soundtrack.
There you go.
Dave Shumka gets it.
Yeah,
he knows
cut.
Dan Grayson of the Moops and the Vintage Blue.
What was his nickname? What did you call him before?
We used to call him Daniel Dan Grayson a lot.
No, that wasn't it.
DG8K, Dan Grayson and his $1,000 guitar. He got E. coli at McDonald's and got a $20,000 settlement. And used half of it to buy an $8,000 guitar when he was like 17 or 18 years old.
All right. Yeah, no, that wasn't it either.
Yeah.
But I like that better.
Yeah, that is amazing. I'm trying to think of alternate nicknames that would spring forth from that story. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, didn't we call him Undercooked McNugget for a while?
Dan is also, he's a very, very competent adult these days, and not a weirdo like this anecdote might suggest. But I remember he was my neighbor my freshman year of college in the dorms. And he had a website called Dan's Showcase that was dedicated to Heidi Klum.
Nice.
Oh, in a horny way?
Like a respectful horny way.
Oh, that's my favorite horny.
But not. But yeah. This was before she was a TV host.
But I think if you're looking to attract, you know, Heidi Klum fans, and you know, you can get, you know, trade Heidi Klum, you know, JPEGs or whatever. You're definitely going to want to put your recipes. You're going to want to put your name in the title of the website.
Yeah, we'll get one eye on SEO, search engine optimization. You sure. knew people would be searching for showcases.
Yeah, right.
Hey, there's so many Dans in the world, you know?
Yeah, you got to figure one of them's a Heidi Klum fan.
Turns out it was Dan Grayson, my friend from college.
Yeah, well, that was, Jesse, that was beautiful. It was really good. And, you know, and I think, you know, hopefully, you know, listeners enjoyed that. And if they have somebody special in their life, they turn it on later while they're making love.
Yes.
God, if someone does that while they're fucking, they, and please know, Penguins in the Pants, I don't want anyone lying about this. If someone plays that song while they
fuck.
And
if you conceive, during the sex, then you have to name it. Who is it? Heidi
Jesse
Klum?
Vandross Gortlach.
Walton Goggins.
Hyphen Klum.
The reason I chose that song specifically was partly because I had offhandedly complained that no one had recorded a version of that song when I was asking for R&B songs.
Right.
But also just because I thought, well, you know, I'm no Leonard Cohen when it comes to singing, but I'm definitely better at singing than Luther Vandross.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's that classic train of thought. Okay, if you have a Goggins song, you're welcome to send it in to us, 206-9844-FUN.
Although, at this point, why bother?
Yeah, no.
JJ, go at MaximumFun.org, but the bar's pretty high now.
Yeah, I mean, make it good, but yeah, we're going to think of something fun to do with all the Goggins songs. So, yeah, if you need to kill some time in your dumb fucking house before you take your stupid little government walk.
Yeah, I've already got emails out to DJ Clue and DJ Drama.
Okay.
And DJ Klum.
And DJ Klum.
From Dan's Showcase?
We'll be back in just a second on Jordan, Jesse, Go. It's Jordan, Jesse, Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Oh, Dave Shumka. I'm still here, but I'm like shrimp so much, and they're little. They can be popcorn, and they're also sometimes slimy, and they got the veins.
Yeah.
Good bit.
Yeah, great bet, Dave. Graham, what about you?
Graham Clark, Walton Goggins theme song. And it goes like this. Walton Goggins, something's wrong with that kid. Walton's Goggins, his head don't work, it never did. So there you go.
Nothing wrong with Goggins. That's blasphemy.
His head, it's like he's balding, but he's not.
Yes.
His forehead is so long, but yet there's a full head of hair.
But he's very handsome.
Yes. And he's one of my balding idols.
Who are your top three balders, Graham?
Jason Statham, I'd say Walton Goggins, and then go for a classic, Jack Nicholson.
Ah, great balder.
I like
sounds like a real Baldur's Alliance. Yeah. Dungeons and Dragons game for the PlayStation 2.
It's a real Baldur's Gate.
It's a real Baldur's Gate.
I'm a Mark Strong guy.
Oh, yeah, Strong looks really good.
It's a little pointy.
Well, you gotta have a sort of what a designer calls an architectural element.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you've got a proud ridge, that's a good sign. I've been shaving my head not all the way down to the skin, but pretty close, all the way down to a number 1/2 on the shaver.
Uh-huh.
And when I shaved my face and did that, I just looked truly awful. Just grotesque. I don't know if this really happens, but I imagine that if they find one of those mob bodies that was sleeping with the fishes, it's all puffy and wet.
Yeah.
That's sort of what I look like.
Yeah.
I haven't ever found one of those bodies, you know. I've only tossed them in.
Give it time. You'll get
there. Were you doing the eyebrows too, yeah, Jesse? That might have been the part of it.
Well, you can't just paint eyebrows over your regular eyebrows, and I wanted, you know, an architectural element.
Yes.
So when something momentous happens to you, call us, 206-984-4FUN. That's 206-984-4FUN. Or just email us a voice memo at jjgo@maximumfun.org. Here is our first momentous occasion.
Hi, Jordan. Hi, Jesse. This is Nick in Houston. Had a question for you more than a momentous occasion. What do you do when the napping drive doesn't work? I just came back from a napping drive with my 4-year-old, and he didn't nap, but I need a nap. He told me every single white truck that we drove past, every single red truck we drove past. We named cows. One of them was named Cinnamon Roll. Another was named Brownie. We talked about how he was going to be a cowboy when he grew up. He literally talked for 45 minutes without stopping. It was amazing, impressive, and maddening. He's very cute and very sweet, but also did not take a nap. Thank you. Love you.
Bye. Too. Thank you for taking your time with that. Mm-hmm. My first criticism here is a technique criticism. He made a really bad mistake here, which is interacting with his child.
Yeah. Mm.
The second the child crosses the threshold of the minivan door, whether or not you can literally physically hear them, it's like you're driving a limousine home from prom. And you just cannot tell that the teenagers are in the back fucking. a plexiglass goes down, a metaphorical plexiglass goes down. You're not encouraging anything. If they're crying, they're crying. If they're happy, they're happy. And then boom, 150 seconds in, they're out like a lamp. That's my experience.
And your other mistake was you drove by cows, the most nameable animals.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely. So fun to name a cow.
And you also said we're going to play white truck, red truck, which is a great way to pass the time.
I initially thought that he said that he had been pointing out every light truck. And I was like, wow, like no love for a full-size crew cab? Boy. Okay, let's take another call.
Hey, Jordan, Jesse, and guest. I'm going to guess Paul F. Tompkins.
You dream on.
Close.
This is Tucker calling from Eugene, Oregon, with a moment of redemption. About 4.5 years ago, I called in a moment of shame as I was being released from jail. Today, I'm calling to let you know that I'm graduating law school.
Hey!
While there won't be any sort of commencement ceremony because of coronavirus, they will be mailing me a degree, a Juris Doctorate, which I plan to use to steamroll my enemies. You guys have been with me the whole way. Thanks. I love you. Bye.
Love you too, buddy.
Nobody loved that story as much as he loved that story.
Yeah.
He was really chuckling through it.
I was gonna like after he did the call, I was gonna say like, oh, from zero to hero, but I'm like, it felt mean to me, so I'm like, you know what? From jail to whale. You were once in jail and now you're a whale of a lawyer. Law school, right?
Yeah. Oh, it's an incredible achievement. You know, we had a mayor here in Los Angeles, Antonio Villaraigosa, who went to a law school called the People's College of the Law. And I drive past it once in a while. My understanding is that they do good work there.
The Barbizon of law schools.
It looks significantly worse than a Barbizon. It looks like a no television commercial barber college. Mm. Like it is just one storefront on a profoundly dingy street. Like, and it's one of those things where it has a sign, but you know, like one of the letters is swinging upside down. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it is truly
Lom school. What's Lom school?
Exactly.
W looks like an M because it's upside down.
Yeah. I think this guy, what I'm saying is, I think this guy probably went to that law school. We'll see. Maybe he went to Harvard. I mean, they let in, who was it that went to Harvard Law? Was it Danny DeVito?
I don't know. That'd be great.
Where he was a homeless guy.
Joe Pesci.
Went to college.
With honors.
Joe Pesci, yeah.
Oh, sure.
He said the famous line, you know, it's the greatest nation on earth. Donation. So there you go.
Good line.
Wow.
Good line.
Because it's all about the dough, baby.
Hey, we're laughing at this guy now, but this is the first person I'm going to call if I ever get in a legal jam.
Oh my God, I've already got him on speed dial.
Do any of you have a lawyer? The way that people are like, I got to call my lawyer.
I have an entertainment lawyer, but I don't think he would help with, you know, like, public urination, right, or something, right, like that.
Plus, your entertainment lawyer's name is Brad, and he goes to punk rock concerts with you.
Yeah, it's true. He's a big strung out collector. Loves trying to get rare pressings of strung out records. Brad's a cool dude.
Who was strung out?
They were kind of like a '90s fat record band. It's really metally. There's a lot of soloing in it.
Okay,
cool.
Yeah. My sister's a lawyer. I guess my sister, like, is a legitimate, like, lawyer.
Oh, so if you ever were like, I'm being detained, you'd call your sister?
I think I probably would call my sister, yeah.
And she would be like, oh, I mean, we're not that close.
Hi, my wife. You don't, you might not remember me. I'm your mom's son.
I'm Joan's son.
My wife is a lawyer, although her law license is, I can't remember what they call it. They call it like, it's like furloughed or something. Right. It's temporarily not active and has been temporarily not active essentially since she got it. But I do have, we have a lawyer, like once in a while we get sued at Maximum Fun.
Oh yeah, we got sued.
Yeah.
We have a lawyer. His name is Justin. He's very nice. He went to law school with my wife. He's a very competent lawyer, very bright guy, and a really solid citizen. But like the skills that it takes to be like a successful business lawyer are like ultimate level life insurance salesman skills. Like you just have to. I also have a very competent accountant, CPA. Named Zach, and Zach and Justin have such high competency at life relative to me that whenever I meet with them, I feel like they're asking me about what my priorities are and blah, 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 blah. And no matter what I say, their reaction is sort of a gentle concern. You know what I mean? Like a... Like, it doesn't matter. Like, they say, well, what are you thinking about doing in this situation? I'll tell them something like this. And they go, like that. Like, they could say, what kind of ice cream do you want? And I'd say, cookies and cream. And they'd say, oh.
Well, good luck with that.
You can get cookies and cream, they would say. You can. Justin got mad at me the other day because I own my car instead of the company owning my car. I'm like, I don't even know. What does this even mean?
Dave Graham, do you guys have legal representation?
No, although I have a friend who is kind of part of what would be considered like the DA in the States. So she's like a prosecuting attorney against bad guys. So that's who I'd call.
Ah,
we have. I think you turn it around. The Attorney General of British Columbia listens to our show.
Is that real?
Well, and didn't you do a show for his wife? Like, was it?
I did.
Yeah, for
her birthday.
Like, I don't know if he still does, but he used to.
There's a woman who's on the Supreme Court of the state of Washington, who wrote a note to me and said, "Can I get this Judge John Hodgman tea towel that's discontinued? I want to put it up in my Supreme Court chambers." And I was like, frankly, no.
Yeah.
But congratulations on being on a state Supreme Court.
I think that begs a question. Who is the highest up in the government that listens to this show?
And can they get Topatico to reprint something?
Gosh, I mean, my first thought is, of course, Norm Mineta, but I think he was formerly Secretary of Transportation, but I think he passed away.
Mm.
Oh, no.
So R.I.P. Norm Mineta.
Yeah.
Rest in peace.
Let's see.
Yeah, and you know.
No, he's very much alive. Norm Mineta.
Oh, good. Oof.
I claim that Norm Mineta, the Secretary of Transportation in the George W. Bush administration, who was a Democrat, listens to Jordan Jesse Go. And you know what, Norm? If you don't listen to Jordan Jesse Go, call in and tell us. I'll take it back.
Yeah, and let us know if you're dead or not.
Although, but you might be indicting yourself. Incriminating yourself.
Do we know any public officials that listen to Jordan Jesse Go, Jordan?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not off the top of my head, but I would love to hear from them if they're out there. Let us know. And let us know what you can do for us personally.
Yeah. I mean, I've certainly thought about the fact that if I ever wanted to run for office, this show would preclude that.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, who knows what the future will hold for, you know, government? Like, I mean, we're going to get to a point where, you know, every politician, you know, had a MySpace page, maybe had a, you know, Battlestar Galactica recap podcast where they said some stuff that they're not proud of. Yeah, and OnlyFans.
I'm on Rand Paul's OnlyFans.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of foot stuff on there.
Yeah. Which is surprising for an optometrist.
Sure.
Anyway, we're having fun here. If you're an elected official or just a relatively high-ranking public official, and by which I mean anything above dog catcher, give us a call and tell us. You can not reveal your name if you'd like, but just reveal what your position is and in what city so we can look up your name.
But call in with one of those cool voice disguisers, like on the news.
That would be great. That's a dream. Or auto-tune in.
Yeah.
Then it can be a fun late-night comedy bit.
From 2011.
Yeah, well.
Still good. It's still good.
Holds up. Also, if you're Jason Cruz from Strung Out, let us know if you can help my lawyer get some rare pressings. He's like, if you got a test pressing of...
Yeah, so let me just list the things.
Transmission
so
Alpha Delta.
If you got any Strung Out test pressings.
Working on a Strung Out poll, and it's a more recent album, but...
Three things we want. Number one, Strung Out test pressings. Number two, if you're in a Nardcore band. Number three, if you're a public official, especially an elected official, 206-984-4FUN is the telephone number. jjgo@maximumfun.org is our email address.
And if you can help us out with all three of those things, that's called the prestige.
We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go. La, la, la. Hey, Max Funsters, it's Jesse Thorne. This week on my public radio interview show, Bullseye, I'm talking with Tina Fey and Robert Carlock about creating Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, 30 Rock, and also just kind of why they're the best at everything.
There was a window of time when we would just go to awards things and pick up our prizes and party with the people from Mad Men.
You can find Bullseye at MaximumFun.org or wherever you listen to podcasts. Just search for Bullseye with Jesse Thorne. La, 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 la.
Hi, I'm Renee Colbert.
I'm Alexis Preston.
And we're the hosts of the smash hit podcast, Can I Pet Your Dog? Now, Alexis.
Yes.
We got big news.
Uh-oh.
Since last we did a promo, our dogs have become famous.
World famous.
World, like...
stars on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Second big news.
Mm-hmm.
The reviews are in.
Mm-hmm.
Take yourself to Apple Podcasts. You know what you're going to hear? We're happy.
It's true.
We're a delight, a great distraction from the world.
I like that part a lot.
So if that's what you guys are looking for, mm-hmm. you got to check out our show. But what else can they expect?
We've got dog tech, dog news, celebrities with their dogs, all dog things.
All the dog things. So if that interests you, well, get yourself on over to Maximum Fun every Tuesday. La, 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 la,
la. It's Jordan, Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Dave Shumka, the shrimp one from three episodes ago.
Graham Clark, clean dirt.
Well, Dave and Graham, what a pleasure to have our friends from Stop Podcasting Yourself on Jordan, Jesse Go.
Oh, and a pleasure for us, too. We'll see you guys at Max FunCon June 4th to 6th.
And that'll be flying out to the Fyre Festival immediately after.
Come to Max FunCon to get your sad cheese sandwich.
No, it is great. It's great to be on the show knowing that not only will we get the 8 comments we get on our show's Reddit post, but we'll get the 24 comments from your show's Reddit post.
Dave, don't drive yourself crazy keeping Reddit scores. You just can't win.
I literally can't.
I love Stop Podcasting Yourself so much. It is the original, not produced in my apartment, Maximum Fun show, and for great reason. If you're a Jordan Jesse Go fan and you don't already listen to Stop Podcasting Yourself, I can't recommend it highly enough. I listen to it. My wife, who does not like Jordan Jesse Go, loves listening to it. it's like, I would say it's like Jordan Jesse Go, but with fewer of the alienating elements. And hosted by better and funnier people.
No, stop.
Is that how you're referring to? Is that how you're referring to me, Jesse? The alienating element.
Well, I can't just come right out and call you a slur.
No, that's true. Yeah, this is just one of your dog whistles.
One of my famous dog whistles.
Well, that's very kind of you, Jesse. We're thrilled to be joining the network. Now, yeah. 11 years later or whatever.
It's also a great place to go if you want to hear Dave allude to an alternative rock song from 1997 that was only a hit in Canada.
Oh, well, you guys didn't like Navid by Our Lady Peace?
You should do a reply all about that. Graham, are you still accepting commissions for beard painting?
I am. I'll keep accepting them, and I'll make my way through the list slowly but surely.
And these are for charity, right?
This is all for charity. A lot of good fun, you know. And then you know the folks benefit from it. So why not? Why not order one? Is what I say.
Yeah, I think you get to commission it, and then you get to say what charity it's for. Is that right?
Yeah. If somebody has a charity that they're very close to. And want the money donated there, they can absolutely do that.
I'm thinking about commissioning a painting of my favorite subject, the commish.
The Devon Sawa show? He was the son, wasn't he?
Oh, I don't know.
He also does obscure TV references.
I think he was the lead singer of Our Lady Peace.
That's Rain Maida.
Oh. How would you describe the sound of Our Lady Peace?
Oh boy. Well, do you know I Mother Earth from Toronto?
No.
Oh boy.
Sorry.
But you know, okay, well, Chantel Kravyatsuk, right? That's his wife. So
I know Bryant Big Country Reeves from Vancouver.
Well, he's actually from Oklahoma. Our Lady Peace was the biggest rock band in Canada for, you know, 1997 to 1997 August.
Graham, where can people order, where can people commission these beard paintings?
They can go to beardpaintings.com, and there's an email link. Can you believe that was available? It was available, so I bought it.
Seems remarkable.
Just call it Graham's Showcase.
I apologize. Devin Sawa was not the son on the commish. I don't know what I was thinking.
Yeah, stupid. Man, you're dumb.
Bassist of Sloan, maybe?
Chris Murphy?
There you go.
Dave can do this all day. Geez, what's happening again? Oh, we're doing a podcast. Mm. Stop Podcasting Yourself is the name of David Graham's show. It's really the best. A lot of people I hear like to pick an episode with special guest Paul F. Tompkins. Paul is a big, big fan of Stop Podcasting Yourself. But I love listening to the latest episode. It's a delightful program.
Thanks.
You can also, I don't know. You can listen to our show. What else do I have to say? Hashtag it JJGo on Twitter. MaximumFun.org is our website. JJGo at MaximumFun.org, 206-984-4FUN. Our producer is Brian Sunny D. Fernandez. Thanks to Brian. Went above and beyond this week, did some extra hard work stuff. Thank you, Brian. Our theme music is Love You by The Free Design, courtesy of The Free Design and Light in the Attic Records. Apparently, a Jordan Jesse Go listener had Sandy Dedrick from The Free Design as their middle school or high school music teacher.
Whoa, cool.
So that's pretty good.
Yeah, that's great.
That's all, I think. We'll talk to you next time on Jordan Jesse Go.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture. Artist owned.
Audience supported.